Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Doctors and folks interested in learning more about the current state of medical marijuana laws and regulations in Florida will gather this evening at Hilton Naples for a four-hour symposium called Cannabis Speaks. It's hosted by a company called My Florida Green, which is working to facilitate medicinal marijuana recommendations for physicians licensed with the Office of Medical Marijuana Use and their qualifying patients. We're joined on the phone by the event moderator and founder and CEO of My Florida Green, Nick Garrelay. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
No problem. And we're also joined by one of the participating doctors, Dr. Barry Gordon, who is president and chief medical officer of the Compassionate Cannabis Clinic up in Venice. Dr. Gordon, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you saying welcome back. It's a pleasure to be back on your very excellent station, and I enjoyed my first time on, and it's a pleasure to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back. Just before, though, we start our discussion, we're going to play a story that was recently produced by Nick Evans up at WFSU in Tallahassee. It seems some state lawmakers are not satisfied with how quickly state health officials are moving forward with issuing new dispensing licenses.
Florida health officials are under fire for the slow implementation of the latest medical marijuana measure. State lawmakers are rejecting the department's excuses. I'm Nick Evans. A new state law directed the Office of Medical Marijuana to issue 10 new dispensing licenses by October 3rd. They didn't make the deadline.
We want to move this process as quickly as possible forward. The problem is that, you know, there is a branch of government that's not represented in this room right now, and they have a say over whether or not something is procedurally correct, administratively correct, or constitutionally correct.
Christian Bax heads up the Florida Office of Medical Marijuana, and he points to pending litigation as the reason for the licensing delay. Senate Health Policy Chair Dana Young is incredulous.
So are you saying that you are willing to hold off on issuing any further licenses as required by statute because you have litigation filed? Is that what you're saying, that you're going to wait until this litigation is resolved before you issue any additional licenses?
Yes.
Members, just with your indulgence, I want to continue on this line of questioning because it is not that hard to file a lawsuit.
The Tampa Republican spent a good chunk of this year's session attempting to corral the different ideas senators had for medical marijuana. Lawmakers in both chambers tangled so long over what would make it in the final bill that they didn't reach an agreement until the June special session. Young points out existing licensees could use lawsuits to protect their market position. She also suggests the office is drifting from its lane by presupposing what administrative judges might rule. But most fundamentally, she just doesn't buy the office's explanation.
Doesn't it seem a bit complacent for you to simply throw your hands up and say, oh, we cannot issue, we've been sued, oh no. You all get sued all the time. You know, we've been sued, so we can't do anything. That you have a duty under our state laws to issue these licenses, regardless of whether some plaintiff files a lawsuit.
Naples Republican Kathleen Passidomo is similarly skeptical of the litigation argument. Plantation Democrat Lauren Book raises a different concern, criticizing the lag time in receiving a patient ID card.
I tried the process, and I went through it as an experiment. And it took 3 months to get a patient identification card. And that is not unique. That is something that I have heard time and time and time again.
That hurts patients, Book says, because they can't simply take their prescription to a dispensary. They have to sign up with the state, and the Office of Medical Marijuana has to verify the application before a patient can begin receiving treatment. Back says those strictures are part of the measure lawmakers approved earlier this year. But his office is about to hand off ID card production to an outside vendor.
Moving forward with this card vendor and outsourcing this program is going to be a significant and marked improvement on this process in that we will remove these logistical challenges of operating within a relatively small office, and this vendor will be able to produce these cards at an industrial scale.
Book also questions the difficulty of switching doctors. Patients have to remove themselves from the state registry and then re-register. But again, Back says that's because of one doctor, one patient requirements baked into state law. When it comes to the identification card, since the hearing, the New Service of Florida reports an unsuccessful vendor will challenge the Office of Medical Marijuana's contract decision in court. potentially delaying the handoff in making and distributing identification cards. For WFSU News, I'm Nick Evans.
We're discussing medical marijuana on today's show. I'm joined on the phone by Nick Garrelay. He's founder and CEO of My Florida Green. They're hosting a four-hour symposium this evening at the Naples Hilton called Cannabis Speaks. We're also joined on the phone by Dr. Barry Gordon. He is chief medical officer of the Compassionate Cannabis Clinic in Venice. Dr. Gordon, what are your thoughts on that story, sort of a current snapshot of what's happening in Tallahassee?
Well, you know, Mike, there's so much there we could literally speak for a couple hours on it. And, you know, I know Nick is, of course, joining me in these feelings that, you know, the entire process of implementation has been a mess from a lot of different angles. I think you could surely get confused if you just look at the dispensary side of the discussion, which was the first part of it, the awarding of the licenses to the MMTCs. And I think to a certain extent that's all important to the patient, to the extent of access and things of that nature, but it's really a discussion at a higher level. I think for the patients of Florida and for the physicians of Florida, the implementation rollout has been flawed from other angles, and really mostly from the side of how difficult it is for doctors to actually participate in the process and in the system to advocate for their patients. The state law was written in a very restrictive manner, and quite frankly, it takes a physician advocate to truly be out there doing best for the patients. Those patients that fit into the 10 qualifying conditions that the state put into play are one thing, but there's a vast pool of patients out there that don't meet the state's criteria and that, quite frankly, also deserve help. So, like I said, there were so many things in that original story, Mike, that I know Nick will probably focus on a few other ones, but from the physician standpoint, it really comes down to the ability that I have to have an appropriate doctor-patient relationship and make the appropriate patient decision of treatment without worrying about what the state law is mandating. And that can be a difficult thing to navigate in the landscape as it is.
Nick Garrelay from My Florida Green, is that confusion sort of why you're hosting this symposium? Is that the nature or the root of what you're doing?
Yeah, one of many reasons, but yes, I mean, it almost feels or seems like that the system was designed to fail. There's been barriers and detours put up to prevent patient access and to prevent the doctor-patient relationship, as Dr. Gordon just stated, and it makes it very difficult, and the practice and the physician literally needs to put their license at risk in order to move forward. And it's not fair. It's not fair for the patient or the physician. Yet, you know, there's pioneers that are, you know, working for the patient, and Dr. Barry Gordon's one of them. And I do want to add that Dr. Gordon is speaking at the event tonight. We are honored to have him. He is a true pioneer. Him and Pat DeLuca have done an amazing job up there in Venice. And I'm honored to even be associated with them, to be honest with you. But
hey, Nick, you're too kind, and we're all pulling on the same rope, and I very much appreciate those kind words, you know, and Nick and what he's doing down there in Naples, Mike, is every bit the same. You know, we're all pioneers out there, and you know, I like to say, and you know, Nick, once again, thanks for that. I like to say three things. It's courage, it's compassion, and it's common sense. And there's no doubt that for physicians out there right now to be practicing in the landscape in which we're doing it in Florida, you do need some courage. But I'll be honest with you, it's much more so about having the compassion for each and every patient, one by one by one. And I know Nick would agree with this. We have a huge narcotic crisis in the country now, of course, Mike. The leading cause of death in under age 50 in the country is narcotic overdose, which is just a shame and a scandal. We can't wait for the government to fix it. We can't wait for Jeff Sessions. We can't wait for Big Pharma. Physicians, one by one by one, need to solve this problem. And quite frankly, the events like what Nick is putting on down there in Naples, and I'm honored to be participating in it, is designed to teach not only the public about medical cannabis, but also legislators, also other doctors, education at a lot of different levels. And that's really what it's all about right now, is education and advocacy.
Nick, tell us more about the event this evening. Give us an overview of what will be happening there.
Yeah, we have some really really great speakers, Dr. Gorder being one of them. We've got a doctor out of Orlando, Dr. Rosato, who is traveling down, Bill Monroe from the East Coast of Florida, who's coming down, who's involved with one of the licensed grow operations, Three Boys. Trip Heber, who is the biggest THC-infused product producer in the country. He is the CEO of Dixie Brands and considered one of the biggest biggest players in the space. Of course, he's in Colorado where they are recreational and medicinal. So, you know, he's seen the industry evolve and he's going to educate with a different level of knowledge here that we haven't even seen yet because we're still trying to navigate the muddy waters of the state program or lack thereof, I should say. But yeah, to emphasize on what Dr. Gordon said, I mean, education is really the key focus, especially right now, because listen, we've got over 1,000 doctors that are licensed with the Office of Medical Marijuana Use. Most of them are afraid to implement medical marijuana into their existing practice because of the risk factor, and then also because of the not being educated. They don't understand cannabis. They don't understand how to recommend it. I did hear in that video and I don't know who was talking, but they brought up prescription several times, and that's just kind of a dirty word in this space of medical marijuana or medical cannabis. It's not a prescription. It's a recommendation. You know, and that's one thing I'm seeing, and we're having to fix a lot of these other physicians that are quote unquote prescribing marijuana to their patients. You can't prescribe a plant. You can recommend it as an alternative. And, you know, I think, Dr. Gordon, you'll probably agree with that.
Is that, you know, linguistic distinction due to the way the law was written, or what's the root of that?
Well,
it
like
actually,
had,
well, yeah, it, right. I mean, it basically is the federal, designation of First Amendment rights. You know, First Amendment being as it is, we are allowed to recommend the usage of cannabis, but because of the federal Schedule One designation, we are not allowed to prescribe it. So, you know, Mike, it is semantics, but it's an important semantic. I think what Nick was leading to, and what I've learned, one of the big issues with doctors and medical cannabis is that doctors need to give up control of the dosing to the patients. Cannabis is a very unique medicine in that it's a used as needed medicine. Mm-hmm. And you go all the way back to the early 1900s. I have one slide in my slide presentation that shows that a doctor from 1902 writing it exactly as is. Cannabis indica, use as directed and as needed. So, you know, you can't really dose it by the milligram a certain number of times a day. Each individual reacts differently. And, you know, quite frankly, each individual comes from a different place. There's Vietnam-era veterans, for example, that have been using cannabis products for years. They have a much higher tolerance. And then, you know, we have 40% of our patients come into the clinic that are very, very fearful of cannabis. They've never seen it. They've never used it. They're deadly fearful of the THC effects. And quite frankly, the interesting thing about those patients is that many of them don't necessarily fit into the state's criterion, the 10 designated conditions. But by definition, those patients can't be coming in for a recreational experience. They've been avoiding it their entire life, and in fact, they're deadly afraid of it. So a large part of our day is in the teaching of those patients how to safely implement medical cannabis into their medical regimen. So it's really quite fascinating, and I think, and I've invited every legislator in the state to come in and shadow me for a day. I think
has anyone taken you up on that offer?
Indeed, most importantly so, Representative Julio Gonzalez himself, who's my representative here in Venice, and represents many of my patients in the practice. He actually was a very negative member of the legislature. In fact, got up and spoke to the non-existence of medical cannabis in session. We now share 4 patients, and the important thing about that is that his patients have each come back to him and told him that they are taking less narcotic medicines, and he was very impressed by that. He was impressed by the education they had received and the integrity of the practice. He accepted my invitation, and I'll be honest with you, he was talking about what he can do in next session to make the program better. So to me, that was the most significant Democrat legislator that's been in. We've also had Representative Gruters come in from Sarasota, and Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith came down from Orlando. Representative Ray Rodriguez, of course, is doing a Tiger Bay even today, and Representative Rodriguez or any representative is welcome to come to the clinic at any time. We're very transparent here, and we're really all about the education.
We're discussing medical marijuana in Florida during this part of today's show. I'm joined on the phone by Nick Garrelay. He's the moderator of an event tonight called Cannabis Speaks at Naples Hilton, and he's also the president and CEO of My Florida Green. And I'm also joined by phone by Dr. Barry Gordon. He runs a medicinal cannabis clinic up in Venice. I'd like for you to join the conversation, though, by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Have you gone through the process of getting your patient ID card? How did that process go? Or maybe you just have questions about the process. Give us a call now. The number again is 877-428-8255. Nick, tell us what My Florida Green does. What is your company's purpose?
We're a patient management platform. So what we do is we facilitate the medical marijuana recommendation for both the patient and the physician. We also have an office here in Naples where we facilitate the recommendations for a couple local doctors here. We're responsible for a couple hundred patients here locally in Naples. So we've had the opportunity to navigate the waters on the practitioner side, which gave us a little bit of an edge and the ability to write this software that's pretty robust and specific for medical marijuana recommendations. So, you know, Florida Weekly, you know, I became very passionate about this, over the last year. But Florida Weekly released an article this past August, and they state right on the front page, it was a pretty gruesome picture. It was a picture of a Grim Reaper with a picture of a heroin needle with a spoon and powder. And it said 607 opioid overdoses occurred in the past 7 months. I mean, that's 3.3 people per day, 83 or 87 people per month. That's disgusting. And you know, we have to band together and work together to change that. I'm not saying that marijuana or cannabis solves those issues or is a remedy for the opioid epidemic that we're facing. But for God's sakes, if people can get access to that as an alternative to a dangerous opioid that's going to, you know, cause them to exit this earth early. I mean, I'm all for it. And, you know, that's why I'm in this to win this. I mean, you know, again, I'm honored to even be associated with Dr. Gordon, because he's been a pioneer blazing the trail as well up there in Venice. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It really is to see patients transform from the addictive medicines over into the medical cannabis. And, you know, they're not only using narcotics less, they are kicking them all together. And then, you know, the cure of, you know, the cancer, the damage that THC and cannabis does to cancer and the curing of some of these patients has just been amazing to watch. You wonder why the government has hindered it from us publicly for so long. It's just really disturbing, and you wonder if the government and big pharma have an intricate system put together and it's designed to work like this, which is why, you know, I'm skeptical as far as this medical marijuana program presented by the state. Hopefully, you know, it gets better. I think it will. We are seeing patients receive their cards a little bit faster, so that's good. I don't know if Dr. Gordon's seen the same thing, but he does a lot more volume than I do up there, so... But it's been a lot of fun to see the transformation. These people really deserve to live and live healthy and deserve access to an all-natural plant that grows out of the ground that has killed no one ever in history, thousands of years.
Dr. Gordon, what do you say to people, critics who you know are out there, who say that medical marijuana is just a foot in the door for recreational marijuana?
Well, you know, Mike, the interesting thing about that is that, you know, the war on drugs has gone on forever, and they can't solve the recreational cannabis problem. So I think, quite frankly, they're two separate issues. I really get frustrated when people keep on discussing the recreational side of cannabis, because like I said, it's another discussion. Medicinal cannabis is different. It's a combination of the THC, which is the recreational, quote-unquote, psychoactive component, with the CBDs. the terpenes, the other cannabinoid parts of the plant that don't intoxicate. And the beauty of technology of today is that we can combine that THC and the other cannabinoids for the specific effect that we're looking for. Believe me when I tell you, nobody's coming into my clinic to get high. People come in to feel well. There's a huge difference. And, you know, just getting back to what Nick was talking about, I never take anybody away from their traditional health care if it's working for them. I'm a traditional health care guy myself. I did 32 years in the emergency medicine field. So I believe in traditional health care. And I tell my patients, if the medicines are working for you and you have a doctor that you like, a doctor that you trust, continue to work with them. We will augment on top of that with medical cannabis. But there's such a frustration out there for many patients, they should not be withheld from the option of attempting medical cannabis. That's the argument here. No one's saying that it's for everybody, but for certain patients, it's a fantastic exit strategy. And that's my point, is that we need to have that available for patients, because the options otherwise are killing people. And we surely can't count on the morality of the drug companies or Big Pharma or the government, quite frankly, to protect patients. We've seen that doesn't work. And we have to solve the problem one by one by one, doctor to patient.
We only have about a minute or two left. Nick, I just wanted to give you one last chance. Are you going to be hosting any more of these symposiums elsewhere in Florida? I know this evening's is fully booked from what you said.
Yeah, we sold out. We sold out two nights ago, and we're definitely going to do these events. I mean, these events are much needed, and I'm hoping to potentially do an event up right in Dr. Gordon's neighborhood. So, I mean, again, education is key. These physicians need to be educated just as much as the patients. And, you know, if you have a physician that is, again, prescribing a plant that they don't know much about as far as dosing in milligrams, then it becomes somewhat of a debacle, and the patients deserve better. It's bad enough that the detours are there, or barriers are put in place to prevent access for the patient, but the physicians and their practice should also be educated and know what they're talking about, so that the patient can you know, begin their journey in a positive manner.
All right, Dr. Gordon, any final thoughts? You have about 30 seconds.
No, I think the most important thing is for patients to know that the system does exist out there for them now. Do your research, find the appropriate physician. Go to seminars like what Nick is putting on tonight, and I'm honored to be there tonight. But the message is the system is open. It's operating. We have great dispensaries right now and doctors out there that are doing it the right way. We just need more.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank my guests. Nick Garrelay is founder and CEO of My Florida Green and the moderator of tonight's Cannabis Speaks Symposium in Naples, which is completely full. Nick, thanks for your time today.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Gordon, for everything you do. I'm looking forward to being with you tonight.
All right. And thanks to Dr. Barry Gordon. He's president and chief medical officer of the Compassionate Cannabis Clinic in Venice. Dr. Gordon, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for the time, Mike.
And thanks to our earlier guest this hour, Dr. Judith McFarland, professor of nursing and the Perry Chair in Health Promotion and Disease Prevention at Texas Woman's University. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone, John Davis, and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. Here and Now is next. Good afternoon.